Today's episode is brought to you by the Strand Tennis Center. Hey, fantastic fans. I have to tell you about the most amazing tennis experience I just had this past weekend at the Strand Tennis Center. I've been so hungry to get back on the court, and my best friend Jake invited me to his new club in Chatham, New Jersey, just 35 minutes from where I live in New York City. And I had an out-of-body tennis experience at this clinic. First, the club is impeccable, and I was greeted with free coffee. So, you know, they had me as soon as I walked through the door. The Strand has pickleball, cardio tennis, junior play, league play, you name it. And the owner, Stephen Capo, helped organize the most fun clinic. I had the best time that I've had on a court in as long as I can remember. It was so fun and so competitive. You've got to check out the Strand Tennis Center. Visit their website, www.strandtc.com, or their social media on Instagram and Twitter at Strand Tennis to get more information for your next hit. Their motto is sweat, learn, fun, and you're going to walk away doing all three at the Strand Tennis Center.
Please take your seats quickly, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
I mean, they always have a big mouth. They always talk a lot. So it happened before, it's going to happen again.
It's been a year of milestones for our guest today. And just this week, she continues that trend by celebrating a new career high WTA ranking in doubles as world number 47. Born in Turnhout, Belgium, she was a successful junior player, getting to the 2015 Australian Open semifinals in singles, as well as a doubles final that same year. 2015 is where she'd also begin to set her sights on a successful pro career, as she'd win the first of her 9 career ITF singles titles in the country of Luxembourg. Luxembourg would also continue to prove to be a lucky place for her, as it's where she'd win both of her 2 career WTA doubles titles at the Luxembourg Open, partnering with fellow Belgian Alison van Oudvank to win the title in both 2018 and 2021. She's demonstrated her all-court game at Grand Slam events as well, having made the third round of singles at the 2021 US Open, the quarterfinals of doubles at the French Open this past year, and her biggest milestone to date, her first top 10 victory at the 2022 Wimbledon Championships by defeating former world number one and Wimbledon champion Garbiñe Muguruza. She's ready to build on the success and surpass her career high ranking of number 69, and I'm excited to get to know her today for the most epic meet and greet. It's the fantastic Greet Minin. Greetings, Greet. Hello, welcome.
Hi, nice intro.
I know. I always love doing the intro because it's like, yeah, you know, great. You get these feelings. You're like, oh yeah, I did all that. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Right. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm so excited. I mean, thanks for hanging with me. The goal today is to give you positive vibes for the hardcourt season. That's what today is.
I already got that in 2 minutes. So.
Happy birthday, by the way. I mean, you just celebrated your birthday this week. This is pretty cool. I'm having a birthday cocktail in your honor tonight.
Thanks. Enjoy it.
It's a gin and grapefruit.
Sounds good.
Did you get to celebrate for your birthday? Were you in the States?
Yeah. I did, actually. I mean, I had a good day of practice, and then in the evening we went out and celebrated. So it was nice.
A dinner?
Yeah, I was near Boston. So it was fun. It was fun.
Cool. There's a good food scene there. That's good.
Yeah, for sure.
You're lucky because you're born in the summer. I mean, that's like, you know, pool parties and, I don't know, boat trips and barbecues.
Yeah, except I'm never at home, so.
That's also true. I mean, I was born in January, so not fun. I mean, the winter birthdays are not fun at all.
Yeah, well, summer in Belgium is not great either, so.
What's your most memorable birthday growing up? Did you have parties growing up? Did your parents throw you parties?
Yeah, for sure. I think then we had all the kids over, and then we had this swimming pool in the backyard. And, you know, these kind of stuff are still the best, for sure.
You had a pool party. You know, I didn't have a pool party. That's no fun. Yeah. Well, you're celebrating this week in Granby, Quebec, Canada. You're prepping for your first match at the Banque Nationale de Granby WTA event. I love Quebec so much. Definitely go in the summer, not in the winter, but still, it's a lot of fun. How was the travel to Granby this week?
Well, it was pretty easy. Just straight flight from Boston to Montreal. So it was only an hour flight. And thank God we didn't have any delays or anything. So we were lucky.
I know it's a lame question, but when you travel for a living, like you do, I always get so anxious for tennis players because one missed flight, one connection that goes wrong, your entire week is like completely screwed. So it's like crazy. Yeah. It's not. How many times do you think an airline's lost your luggage? I mean, you travel for a living. Like you must have nightmare travel stories. Like what's like the craziest travel story you have?
I think when I came back from Istanbul, I lost my luggage for over 2 weeks. So I thank God I was at home so I could, you know, wear some clothes, but was gone for 2 weeks. Nobody could help me. They didn't know where it was.
Are you serious? Your bag, your tennis bag too?
No. Yeah. Everything, like two bags. I checked in my normal bag and the tennis bag, everything was gone. So yeah, that was pretty bad.
Could you imagine getting to Montreal and your tennis bag is like, and they just say, oops, I'm sorry. I mean, are you borrowing someone's racket?
Yeah, I mean, I always take 2 tennis rackets in my hand luggage. So if something happens, then at least I'm covered.
I have a very good friend of mine and he has a question for you. He's a very dear friend, Daniel Childress in Orlando, Florida. He doesn't play tennis, but he messaged me and he said, I'm thinking of taking a new job and I have to travel every week if I take this job. Can you ask your next tennis star what their best advice about traveling is? Your name is Tennis Star now. That's your new name, by the way. You're Tennis Star.
Okay. I like that one.
What advice do you have for traveling?
For sure, you know, buy good headphones. Listen to some music or some Netflix. If you don't have good headphones, it's a disaster in an airplane.
Disaster.
Yeah, for me, that's the most important thing to bring.
Totally. Yeah. Well, way more exciting than air travel is the US Open. I mean, I'm so excited. I'm a New Yorker. It's coming up, Greet. It's my very favorite time of the year in the city. And we're heading back to New York for the US Open. Last year was a big tournament for you. It really was. You had the best Grand Slam showing of your career as you made the third round in both singles and doubles. That's pretty freaking awesome, Greet Minin. Come on.
Yeah, it was. It was. I was so excited last year. I mean, it was for sure the best tournament I've played so far.
Yeah, not to mention the best paycheck probably you had too. I mean, come on.
true.
When you think back to the Open last year, Greets, what feelings or memories come first for you?
Well, a lot of joy and happiness for sure, I would say. And also a bit of relief. I was kind of, you know, fighting for this top 100 spot that's so crazy important in tennis. That was the match with the first round I won in the US Open against Podoroska. Was finally the time I could, you know, make it to the top 100 for the first time. So that was for me big, big happy relief.
I mean, so many milestones. We're going to talk about so many things that have happened for you. But I wonder, looking back on your results, because I've been following you last summer, especially, it was an important time of your career. After your semifinal appearance in Prague, which we'll talk about a little bit later, you made the finals of the biggest tournament in singles for you in Landisville, Pennsylvania, an ITF tournament. And then you get to New York playing really the best tennis of your career at that point. Where were you mentally at this point last year? Where have you, when you think back to last year, are you in the same place?
Well, I think my tennis was for sure very good last year. I was, you know, winning a lot of matches. My confidence was really high. That's what confidence is. It makes you a better player, I would say. So this year it's a bit different. I mean, I didn't win a lot of matches lately and I've been struggling a little bit with my tennis, but you know, anything can happen. And I can't wait for the US Open to start. It's been always a great tournament for me.
I mean, this is where we resurrect those good feelings. That's what this show's all about. We're gonna manifest some good feelings. I want to talk about that 2021 US Open because in the second round, you played the very hard-hitting Ludmila Samsonova. Samsonova was coming off of a WTA 500 title in Berlin and a fourth round showing at Wimbledon that summer. So it was a big win for you. It really, really was. By the way, I mentioned this before the show started, but your head-to-head, which you already know, against Samsonova, 3-0. I mean, all straight sets, by the way. Your tennis drives her absolutely insane, probably. For a listener that's hearing you for the first time and is about to join the Greet Army, when you're playing your best tennis, what are you doing on court, I wonder? How would you describe your tennis style?
I would say pretty aggressive. Well, maybe not as aggressive as Samsonova. She's like a really powerful girl. So I can match that. So,
yeah, crazy.
Yeah. But I would say, yeah, for sure. I like to, you know, make a good first serve and then, you know, turn around, play my forehands, I love my forehand. So for sure, that's a big weapon.
I love your forehand. In the third round, you play former US Open champion Bianca Andreescu. So you're doing all the things that as a tennis player when you're growing up that you're just dreaming of doing, right? You're playing all these big matches and these big slams. You played Kvitova in slams. You played Andreescu in slams now. That Bianca match was on Louis Armstrong Stadium too. We're talking big time tennis, right? I know the match didn't go your way exactly, but do you think playing a match like that in the third round, did that help you at all for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I think for sure. It's, you know, always great experience playing these kind of players and yeah, the big stages, you know, in the third round of a Grand Slam, she really was too strong for me that day. She played amazing and it was, yeah, a good learning experience. So I think it helped me a lot in the future matches for sure.
Well, it's going to help you this year. I think I'm feeling it, right? Are we feeling these vibes today? All right. So we've been chatting about your recent success, but there's so much to learn and unpack from your years moving up the WTA rankings. So I've compiled the most popular topics that your fans want answers to. The topics today, Greet, range from the beginning of your career all the way to today, to your birthday week in Granby, Canada. And along the way, we'll even have a couple of fun questions that will test just how well you remember your own career. Greet, do you have any nicknames, by the way? Am I just calling you Greet? What do your people call you?
Well, my nickname is Greetje. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, I can't say that, Greet. I'm American. Come on, I can barely say Greet.
That's what I
Come thought. On.
Or Greta is also a popular one.
Greta?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that means what? That means ray of sunshine that's going to win the US Open in 2022.
Yeah, let's say it means that, yeah.
Okay, good, perfect. Greta, let's do it. Let's start. Well, I'd love to start today by traveling all the way back into your tennis mind, Greet Minnen. Do you remember the very first tennis match you remember watching live or on television?
Oof. Well, live for sure is going to be with my dad at French Open. I think we went and we saw Roger Federer first time live. So that was for sure. It's probably not my first match live, but it was for sure the most memorable one.
That sticks out to you as a kid?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You're so spoiled.
Yeah.
What? Come on. You're going to see Federer?
It's not so far. So.
Well, that's also true. All right. Fine. Yeah. Fair. What about early influence? Obviously, you know, you grew up in Belgium. When you first started playing tennis, what were the tennis icons for you? What was your inspiration growing up?
Well, for sure. You know, Roger Federer, like I said, is still a big idol. And I would say Kim Clijsters for sure. She was Belgian, the same as Justine Henin. They were both amazing players when I grew up. Yeah, I always loved watching them both play against Serena, against Venus. You know, they were all at the top.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you wish to be there one day.
I've heard of those players. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Can we talk about your early start in tennis, Greet? I know you grew up in Belgium and you have a brother. Did you grow up in a tennis playing family?
My mom used to play tennis, but nothing too serious. And my dad was a pretty good, you know, soccer player at home. He was in second division, so he was pretty good. So not really, I would say, a big tennis family or anything, but we had a big car park behind our house. And that's where I hit my first few balls with my dad and my brother.
So he gave you a racket and he was like, okay, well, either soccer or tennis, you choose,
yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I played both when I was little. I played soccer as well. And then eventually, I think I was around 10 or 11, I had to choose. And I chose tennis. I liked it more.
Yeah, well, you chose right.
I guess so.
Did your brother keep playing too?
No, he's horse riding. He's doing jumping.
He's an equestrian?
Yeah, that's how you say it. Yeah, sorry. It's totally different, but yeah.
If you had to describe to someone like me, kind of, because I was a good player, but I wasn't good enough to be a pro. You know, I wasn't good enough to be Greet Minnen. How would you describe how you became such a great player at a young age? What do you attribute that to? Because again, there's so many people listening that play tennis and that play tennis at a young age, mm-hmm. You know, and you're not in a tennis family. You're playing, you know, just recreationally to start, for sure athletic, but what crosses the line? What makes you get to that level of like, oh my gosh, I'm on the path to become a top 100 player in the world?
I guess it's, I started playing with my dad in this common tennis grounds, you know, everybody could use them. And there was this one woman who came up to him and he said, yeah, she's pretty good. You know, you should sign her to the federation. You should let her test. And yeah, so my dad was like, okay, let's try and let's see what happens. And yeah, that's how it started. You know, I guess it's a bit of luck also. If the woman maybe hadn't come over to us, and then maybe we would never have to go to the federation and I would never have gotten in. I was since very young age already at federation, practicing, playing, you know, combining school. So I was lucky to have that system in our country.
Oh, I love it. It's fate. It's fake for you.
Yeah, I
mean,
I guess so.
Of course it is. Of course, you put it into the universe and that's what it is. I love it. I mentioned earlier you were a great junior player and you'd make the semifinals of singles at the Junior Australian Open and also the doubles final. When you came back from Australia after that tournament, it was such a successful tournament for you. Was that a big deal or was it more stressful? Because I'm guessing at that point, there's a lot more expectation and pressure when you're getting to the doubles final of a junior grand slam and everyone's looking for you to be the next, right?
Yeah, I guess I never really realized the big pressure I've gotten after it. You know, I'm always pretty down to earth. I never really like to brag or, you know, say anything. But yeah, after I was just, it was a big deal for me because I finally, you know, I guess proved to myself that I could, you know, play with these top players at my age and just do very well in Grand Slams.
Did you have insecurities before that? Were you feeling like this is like a career defining moment for you, that Australian Open?
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure it gave me a lot of confidence at the level because before that, I never really, you know, gotten very far in the, I played quarterfinal of the US Open as well, but I never really got into the end stages of a Grand Slam. You know, as a junior, that's always what you, you know, aim for. And if you get to that part, you know, you have a chance to go pro. If not, then, you know, it's maybe going to be very difficult for you.
I ask about the pressure specifically because as a Belgian WTA player, I'm sure that you and Allison and Elise Mertens and Kirsten Flipkens, Wickmeyer, all of you at one point probably were looked at the Belgian media or at least by the federation as possible the heir to the Clijsters or the Ennen. They're always looking for the next, right? The next big superstar in Belgium.
Yeah.
Did you feel that pressure in your career to be another Kim or Justine at some point?
No, I don't think I was good enough for that. I don't think anybody saw me as the next Kim Clijsters or Justine Ennen. I think they were both just incredible players and a big exception for our country, I would say. You know, we're not very big. We have a lot of good, very good tennis players, but those were like really the standouts. And I guess the media really expects that happens again and again. And I don't think we can expect that. I mean, at a certain point, I think we were like 6 or 7 in the top 100, which is really good for a small country like Belgium. So it's never easy for us to deal with all the pressure in the media.
No. I had Dominique Monamy on the show, and I was a big fan growing up of Dominique Monamy and Sabine Appelmans. And she was the first Belgian to crack the WTA top 10. And she spoke about the pressures that she and even Sabine Appelmans had in her generation of playing. And she didn't even have social media during her time on tour. I mean, I'm guessing someone like you growing up with someone that has had social media in your lifetime, like we both have, it can be pretty awful at times, especially with all the asshole gamblers that love to give their 2 cents every 2 seconds matches in general in the universe. What's your relationship with social media? Is it more good or more harm for you?
I would say it's both ways. I think it's very good for sponsors, for, you know, for the fans, you know, to keep track of the players and for the tournaments and everything. I like it. It's very fun. But I would say if I didn't play tennis, I probably wouldn't be on it very much. I just think it's not very real, you know, a lot of everybody looks happy, a lot of pictures. And I don't think that's how the world works. But yeah, it's just tough, you know, these kind of hate messages always. After we lose a match, you know, you're already very disappointed in yourself. And and how it went down. And then you receive all these types of messages. And it's not just the private messages, but it's also the things they post on your picture that everybody can see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just very annoying.
It's so annoying. If you're listening out there, obviously you're getting to know Greet, or you are a Greet Minnan fan. So yeah, I mean, give her some love in general. I mean, everybody. I mean, I can't imagine posting something negative about somebody. It's unfathomable to me. I don't understand it. I really don't. But, you know, alas, it's something you have to deal with. You know, it's the pressure of being a professional athlete as well, because you're constantly in the spotlight. It doesn't matter at what level you're at. I mean, you're constantly going to be scrutinized. So,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. I do wonder though, did you ever get to chat with Kim Clijsters or Justine Enna?
Kim Clijsters was on the Fed Cup team last year.
Okay.
She was there for support and, you know, helping us out. So yeah, she's very nice and very friendly. And I never really gotten to talk to her very much. She's in the other part of Belgium. So we have a French and Flemish part.
Okay.
And she's in the French part. So
yeah,
we never really had any contact with her.
I love that Belgium is very like Flemish versus French, because I just never knew growing up if you had to be a Kim fan or you had to be a Justine fan, if it was allowed to be both.
Yeah.
Because you're being very neutral tonight, and I don't believe you at all. I really don't. You're giving me an Instagram post right now. For sure, you're a Kim Clijsters fan. It's totally fine. It's fine. I get it. It's no fun. You have to say you like both. I get it.
Honestly, I like both.
I get it.
Yeah.
Well, after that Australian Open Junior Summer Final, that summer in 2015, you'd become a regular on the ITF events. So let's move on to our next topic. And I'd love to explore your early years on tour, Greet. I actually have the first of your two Greet Minnan moment trivia questions today. So let's think back for a moment, okay? We can do this, all right? Let's jump into our tennis time machine back to 2013 when we all tried the Harlem Shake and Lorde came out with a song called Tennis Court, but it wasn't about a tennis court at all. She completely tricked me. It wasn't, had nothing to do with tennis. But Greet, can you remember the name of the player that beat you in the very first ITF tournament event back in Belgium in 2013, you'd get all the way to the final in your very first event. Wait, don't tell me, because I can see by your face right now.
I know.
I already knew.
I know.
Like, she was like, yeah, I know you can't see her face right now, which I never noticed how chiseled her bone structure is. She's quite gorgeous that I'm looking at right now.
Thank you.
But she was like, totally like, yeah, I know this answer. I know this right away. What is the answer to this?
Arcangioli, Manon, French girl.
Manon Arcangioli. Oh, yes. Yes. Well done. Yes. Well done.
7-5 in the third.
Oh my gosh. You're right. I love it. Some people can remember those things. I can't remember what I had for breakfast. I can't remember.
These type of matches you never forget.
In the summer of 2015, you'd win your first ITF event in Luxembourg and then in Turkey. What was it like traveling on tour in the early years, back on the ITF tour, when you first, after your junior days, and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this?
It was a big step in the new world. I would say it's very different from the juniors. You know, everybody gets along, everybody knows each other. It's a small world. And when you get to the pros and the ITFs, it's, you know, everybody is on their own, and you have to figure it out by yourself, and nobody's really helping you. So yeah, thank God I had a coach with me who could travel. Well, not always, but a lot of times from the federation. So that made it a bit less lonely, I would say.
So your career, you came up through the federation, you traveled, and that's how, you know, obviously we talked about how your start in tennis came with that lucky day of fate. And the Belgian Federation kind of took you under their wing, and they had coaching for you, and they traveled with you as a young.
They believed in me from when I was 10 or 11 years old. So then I went to boarding school as well, you know, because it was a bit too far to drive up and down every time from our home. And yeah, they really helped me. They're a big part of my career for sure. And eventually I left the federation. I think I was 19 or something, but until then they really helped me a lot. My dad couldn't travel. He was working all the time. And my mom passed away when I was 11. So
Oh, wow.
It was just my dad and me and my brother. So
wow. I mean, you've learned so much traveling on your own since you were such a kid. I mean, that's very powerful, Greet. I mean, really. I mean, that's your whole life experience. I mean, it is, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you'd continue to play and get better. And then in 2016, you'd form a partnership with fellow Belgian Alison van Oudvank that would later lead to your first WTA title. For your second Greet Minute Moments trivia question, Greet, can you remember the city where you played doubles with Alison for the very first time in 2016? You got the first one right. Can you get the second one right?
Really? Oh, my God. No. Honestly, I maybe Luxembourg. I don't know. It's a wild guess.
No.
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 I don't know.
No, you were in the States. Does that ring a bell then?
In the States. And was it...
I mean, you wouldn't probably remember the city. No. I mean, well, it's not a city I've been to, so I don't know it. Maybe it's lovely.
No.
You've been there. You can tell me. Sacramento, California. Sacramento.
Yeah. Now I remember.
All right. Well, Sacramento. Sorry, right. Sacramento. Yeah. If you're listening in Sacramento, please don't be mad at me. I'm sure you're lovely. I'm sure you're a lovely it's a capital of California. Come on.
Oh.
It was tough. It's okay. We're 1-1.
That was a tough question.
All right. I want to talk about your partnership with Alison for a moment, because you started playing doubles in 2016. Obviously, there was on-court chemistry there because you began winning big matches together right away.
Yeah.
And you'd go on to win your first WTA title in doubles with her at the Luxembourg Open in 2018 as wild cards out of nowhere. I mean, crazy. I would love to hear about that week. How amazing did that feel after having spent years on tour, knowing that you finally won a big title? What do you remember from Luxembourg that week, winning your first WTA title?
Yeah, it was a very crazy week, honestly. We got the wild card, which was already a big deal for us. And then I think we played a lot of super tie breaks. And you know, in doubles can go either way, honestly. It's very tough to predict. So it was a stressy week, I would say. But, you know, it was very fun. You know, we had a lot of fun that week, you know. We went out there like we had nothing to lose, and it was very amazing to win that first WTA title.
I mean, you won a WTA title. Come on. Yeah. That is awesome. Come on. Yeah, that is so fun. Well, I want to say that same year, Greet, you won the hearts of many people because you became role models as well as you made your off-court relationship public via Instagram posts. Not sure if you know this, but that post was a big deal, and it was recognized all over the world by both the LGBTQ community and the tennis world. People were talking about it. It was finally a way to normalize tour relationships, because for years, we've heard so much about ATP and WTA players that had openly dated, and it was so great and also so important to finally hear about, for the first time, an active tour relationship within the LGBTQ community. Did you think that post would cause the response that it did?
No, for sure not. I would say no. I remember that. I think we posted it, and then we got so much messages and so much extra followers and so much just amazing messages. Everybody was so supportive, as well as the WTA, as all the tennis players, as fans. And it was just crazy that we just barely received any negative messages.
I mean, if you received a negative message, I mean, go fuck themselves, right? Come on. That is.
Yeah, for sure. But you know how people are.
I know how people are. Believe me, I know how people are. Well, I've had Renee Stubbs and Lisa Raymond on the show, and they are two of the greatest Grand Slam doubles champions, both former number ones, legends. They talked about winning titles and also maintaining a relationship. And I can only imagine the stress that's involved in trying to juggle both an on-court and off-court relationship. Relationships are complicated already. So working with the person that you're dating, I can't imagine. I literally not an element that I can even fathom. It's not even close. I don't want to dig too deep today because I'm sure you've talked about this many times, but I do want to ask, in a partnership that is so unique that you had with Alison, what memories were more powerful? Was it the highs of winning matches or the lows of losing matches? What was more powerful?
I think it's just, you know, both. Honestly, you're a team at that point, and you win together, you lose together. And we both played our singles careers as well, but, you know, we both were very supportive of each other also in our singles career. I mean, it's not easy, you know, to work with the same person you're dating or involved with. But I guess it's doable. I mean, we did it for 5 years, and for sure it was an amazing experience. And I would say it's very possible, but not easy.
Not easy. Not easy at all. I mean, it's extremely complicated for sure. So, hey, kudos to you. I can't imagine working with my partner. It's not, I can't imagine. Did someone take the losses harder? Are you the more competitive one?
I don't know. I guess I'm just, when I lose, I get very pissed, and you know, I just shut myself off a little bit. So yeah, we just had each other to talk to, which helped a lot. And you know, it's nice that other person understands you and knows what you go through.
Completely, you understand. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's life, right? And you're on tour, and you both are going through the same things. Yeah. It's amazing, right? Well, your fan, David Rapogel in Arlington, Virginia, USA asks, we continue to see players from the WTA normalize the tour by discussing their private lives, most recently with Daria Kasatkina. What, in your opinion, if anything, is the WTA tour doing better than the ATP tour to ensure that their players have a safe environment to live their lives openly?
I think we also had a very important role model when we were younger, or even before that, you know, Billie Jean King was the first one. And since then, I think for a lot of WTA players, it helped, you know, to come out and to be open about it. And I guess in ATP, it just, we don't have that. There is nobody who really came out, but who was a big role model. And I think we miss that. We miss that one person, you know, who is a big name in tennis and who may be gay and who can be open about it and talk about it. I don't think it's necessary the WTA doing better than ATP. WTA is doing a great job, but I guess ATP is also trying.
Well, I'm glad you feel that. I mean, I don't know if everyone feels the same way. I don't know. You know, I'm hopeful that things can change, but you do have a fan also in Antwerp, Belgium, Nicholas Nates. He says, we're waiting for the first active top 1000 ATP player to make history. Do you think it will happen while you're still on tour?
I do hope so. So let's say for another 10 years I'm on tour. I really hope so. Yeah, I think it will happen. Yeah, I think it will happen very soon.
10 years? 10 years left? We have 10 years? Good.
Yeah.
We're going to have a follow-up in 5, Greets, okay? All right, we're going to check in with you in 5 years.
Yeah, you can come back in 10 years if nobody came out.
Oh my gosh. All right, well, Greet, after a few years of steadily improving your ranking, Greet things and even greeter wins were just around the corner. So as a fan, I'd love to highlight the next few seasons with some of your greetest matches.
I like that.
Sounds great. How many people say that? I'm so sorry.
Sounds great. I love the jokes.
Okay, good. Because I can't say your nickname, so it's going to be great.
It sounds great. Yeah.
It's even better. During your 2019 season, Greet, you qualify and then beat former top 5 fan favorite Dominika Sibulkova in the first round of Stuttgart. That Sibulkova match was absolutely amazing. That's where I became a Greet Minnan fan. So I remember that match, and I said, because I love Sibulkova, we had her on the show. I mean, she's a diva extraordinaire. She is absolutely such a great player in the WTA history. Go back and listen to that episode if you haven't heard that episode. It is so good. Anyway, that was the biggest win you'd had in your career at that point. What do you remember from that match against Sibulkova?
Well, the first time I came there at Stuttgart, I already felt amazing. You know, these courts are just very nice. They're very fast. It's not like a regular clay, and it's indoors, which I love. So I came there, you know, expected barely anything. I qualified and I won against Sibulkova. I think it was a very tight match. I mean, it was just great to have this first big win in my career, and to have it on this kind of tournament is even better.
Yeah. After a big match, are you like, oh yeah, like give me your psyche of Greet Minnan. Like what, after a match, are you proud? You seem pretty quiet to me. Like you seem pretty introspective.
I'm happy.
But like, are you high-fiving? Are you?
Yeah, I'm very happy for sure. But I think not very outspoken. I'm pretty quiet, and you know, I stay very, very humble for sure. But of course, I like to call my parents and my friends and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, in 2020, let's move on around a little bit. You qualified for your first Grand Slam. You'd also win your first round match in Australia, beating Sasnovich, Aunt Sassy, as I like to call her. 2020 was a terrible year for most of us. Everyone listening had a terrible 2020, but for some reason, Greet Menin had a great Melbourne 2020.
And stopped there.
Exactly. After 2021, let's move on to 2021 because it got so much better for you, Greet. Got so much better. All right, let's talk 2021. You'd make your first tour single semifinal appearance in Prague. You'd win your second WTA tournament in Luxembourg. You'd advance to the third round of the US Open, as we talked about earlier in the show. And you get all the way to 69 in the world rankings in singles by that year in October.
Yeah.
What a hell of a year, Greet Menin. I mean, that's a year that you want. Can I ask, though, did it feel even better the second time winning that tournament in Luxembourg with Alison after that first one? I mean, you'd already won it. So like, now that you win a second time, is it just like, I'm the queen of Luxembourg? Pretty much? Like, what do you feel?
Yeah, it looks like I like Luxembourg. I won my first ITF title there and then two WTA. It's amazing to have done it twice there. And I always love that tournament. It's close to home. Even our dog came to the final.
Came to the final?
Yeah.
What's your dog's name?
He's Balto.
Balto. Oh, Balto. Yeah. Something I can say, but barely as well, since I didn't the first time. Oh my gosh, what a fun night out that must have been in Luxembourg.
Yeah.
Well, we're starting to wrap up today, Greet, and we have to fast forward to this year because your 2022 season was so amazing. I started today talking about your milestones, and the past couple months, you've had some big ones by making the French Open doubles quarterfinal. And you just had the biggest win of your career thus far. And I was there to witness it. I watched match point. I was walking the grounds. I was at Wimbledon this year and I got to see you beat Garbiñe Muguruza. It was amazing. You got your first top 10 win at Wimbledon by beating Garbiñe in the first round, 6-4, 6-love. I mean, let's just air high five because I mean, that's pretty amazing. Yeah. What did that match mean to you?
Yeah, a lot. For sure. It was a very tricky match. You know, we finished the first set and then we had to go inside because it was too dark. It was too late to play. And then, you know, it's tough to sleep when you're set up against a top 10 player.
So what did you do? Like, do you have coaching? Did you analyze the match? Like,
After the match, we didn't really talk about it that much. We were just, you know, let's eat, let's go back to our house and, you know, relax. We saw the end of Serena against Harmony Tan, which was amazing. Yeah.
I stayed to watch. It was heartbreaking. It was the best and the worst ever. And I stayed probably 45 minutes away. So to leave the stadium after the match and to travel like an hour to the city was like, I was so depressed. Anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, so we watched that match. Then I went to sleep. And in the morning, we analyzed a little bit the match and what to expect or try to expect when you start again. So it was very important for me to start that second set very aggressive and very, you know, with a lot of confidence because I won the first one. And yeah, I played an amazing second set.
I mean, amazing. I mean, you're beating a former champion 6-love on a surface that she's won a Grand Slam on before. Do you think that's the best match you've ever played in your career? Looking back now that we're talking, I mean, if you're
the best second set for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then what's the best match you've ever played in your career? Oof,
that's a tough one. The best match, maybe against Samsonova, maybe the second round last year. Yeah.
So good. But again, you could have come up from a nap and beaten Samsonova. She can't beat you. You know that already, right? I mean, it's not happening. We talked about the head-to-head.
Yeah. Well, I still have to be very prepared against her.
No, I'm just kidding. Go Samsonova. Hi. Yes, absolutely. I was very proud of you watching that match. And you seemed very excited. That match point, I mean, that it seemed like it meant a lot to you. Even though you didn't get the ranking points, I mean, still, that was that was a great moment to beat your first top 10. I mean, that's something you'll never forget. And that's something you always have. And you'll continue to build on that. So congrats to you. Congrats.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Ooh, nice one.
All right. Well, your French Open quarterfinal in doubles was so great this year. I mean, we're talking 6-4 in the third against Pegula and Goff. That was a great match. I remember I was watching and I was like, oh my gosh, what a great doubles match this is. I mean, and they've been playing together so well.
Yeah, they have.
So really, really great. So congrats to you.
Thanks.
Well, as we finish up today, can we talk about some goals for the rest of the season and the rest of your career? I want to make sure everyone listening out there, all of your Greet Army that's listening now, I want them to know what's important to you. You just turned 25 this week. You're so young with beautiful bone structure. Again, as I've said, I'll say it twice. You have so many years left on tour. You have 10 years left, you said. You'd guaranteed that on the podcast.
I hope so.
I mean, you said it. I don't care. You said 10. So it's in the universe now.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, 10. Let's go for it.
What's your next goal? What do we have? What do you want to accomplish in the next, maybe at the end of the year or by the end of your career?
Well, at the end of the year, for sure, I just want to, you know, be back in the top 100. I dropped a little bit and I will drop some more maybe after US Open. But, you know, I just had a couple of tough months lately with some, you know, injuries, some COVID, some sickness, but, you know, I'm feeling much better again, you know, physically, and I want to rebuild my tennis and play at the same level that I know I can. And then that's the goal for the end of the year, to be back in the top 100. And I would say at the end of my career, I don't know, I would love to play second week of a Grand Slam in singles. And I would love to go very far in the Grand Slam, you know, play final or even win it. That's always the ultimate goal.
Oh, I love hearing that. I love it. Well, I'm glad that you're on the mend, because, you know, you have the US Open coming up and it's a place that you've played well. You know, the States hard court season for you. I know you love the grass, but hard court season has been quite successful for you too. I know, you know, this is going to be you're opening with a tough draw in Granby as well, if you saw the draw that came out as well.
Yeah,
it's okay. That's good. You know, that's good. This is what you want. You want the preparation, right? For these big matches.
Definitely.
All right. We've got to know each other over this past 45 minutes. And as we ramp up to the US Open, I want to know how you're honestly feeling about the US Open. Do you think about the third round points that you have to defend? Or do you think about, okay, you know what? I've played well in New York before. I can play well again. I'm going to play well. I know I haven't been playing my best, but I'm going to find it right now.
No, it's been definitely in my head, you know, lately with the points dropping. I know I had third round to defend the US Open, but honestly, I'm really going to go out there and try to do my best. And that's all I can do. And it's not always in our hands. You know, the opponent can play great and you might lose a match, or, you know, you might play amazing and win it. Anything can happen and I'm open for anything. And I know I can play well, just has to come out.
Yes. Yes, great minute. You meant your US Open is what you are. Yeah. That's what you are.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, however you're feeling, however US Open you're feeling, don't worry, because you're going to have a lot of new fans behind you cheering you on. The new Greet Army is here for you, Greet.
Sounds good.
We're here for you. Well, I can't thank the fantastically great Greet Minnan enough for joining me today. Please show her some love and send her some positive vibes for the US Open and for the rest of the season. Our guest today can be found on Instagram at Greet, GreetJeminnan, or on Twitter at GreetMinnan97. Greet, thank you so much for joining today. I had so much fun.
Thank you. Yeah, me too. It was amazing.
While you're on Instagram, shoot me a DM at John Garica. Let me know who you're a big fan of and who you'd like to see on an upcoming show. Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at FanTennisPod or on Instagram at FantasticTennisPod. My name is John Garica, and thank you for listening. This has been Greetastic.
Maybe you should change the name.
This has been fantastic.